Wow, what an awesome morning, eh? I'm just going to get myself set up. I've asked my glamorous assistant to come and just help me. Exactly. Just in a circle that way for me. Thank you. Wow, what a morning, eh? So, we've heard Pete talk about Psalm 23 and learn what is in a name. And also, last week, as he taught us through Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life. And also, the incredible Sue talking about the God as the God of breakthrough. But this morning, oh, okay, it's working. That's good, isn't it? This morning, and having spent time with God, I feel like God wants us to understand a little bit more about the fact that I am, that he is, the God of forgiveness. Now, some of you at this point already may be like, ugh, I've come to church and I'm hearing about forgiveness. And you know, I'm fine. I've got nothing to forgive. I'm not offended. I don't hold any hurt or bitterness or offense. I've forgiven myself for everything and, you know, all of that kind of thing. But this morning, church, can I challenge us? And can I ask that we lean in to hear about what God is saying to us about forgiveness, about the importance and the impact that it has on not only our lives, but the world that we are in our communities, where we find ourselves at school or at work or home, in our environments, wherever we are. I want to take us this morning through some passages of scripture, looking at people in the Bible who really looked like they had the right to not forgive or to not get over it. But they chose, in spite of, despite their circumstances. And I want us to observe and see how that is a benefit and how we can apply that in our daily lives. So God, I pray this morning that we would tune into heaven. God, I pray that I would decrease and that you would increase, God. And Lord, anything that is not of you, I pray it may fall by the wayside. But God, I pray this morning that you would open the eyes of our understanding, not just in the natural, Lord God, but in the supernatural. God, I pray for anyone right now in this moment who's already feeling uncomfortable. Lord, who is already feeling like, you know, this is not going to be for them. God, I pray that you would speak to them, that Holy Spirit, that you would draw close. God, I pray this morning that we would not be people that are hearers of your word, but we are doers of your word, God. Would you come and just bless us in this place, as you already have done, in Jesus' name. Amen. So as I was looking for kind of forgiveness and the context around it, I came across this quote, which coming from Nelson Mandela, I found amazing. It says, forgiveness liberates the soul. It removes fear. And that is why it is such a powerful weapon. And then as I went on to see other things, it says the practice of forgiveness is our most important contribution to the healing of the world. Don't you just think that's amazing? So forgiveness, I guess, is essentially the foundation, right, of our Christian faith. Yeah, we talk about it often. We are aware of it. We know that, you know, it's the fundamental basis. And as I was looking at the names of God, some of us may be familiar with the name Elohim, which in the Hebrew root meaning means strength or power. And then often what happens is that other words are combined with the word Elohim to actually create the nature or the attribute of God. And so as I was looking through, I came across the word Elohei Selikod, which actually means God of forgiveness. How amazing is that? So for anyone that is new to church this morning or new to the concept of faith, the fundamental principle of Christianity is that God the Father sent his son Jesus to be my substitute, your substitute, or a living sacrifice on that cross to wipe away all of the stuff that we've done wrong, thought wrong, and he's allowed us to live in that place of victory. This was done for everyone. For anyone who ever has lived and for anyone who ever will live. Is that not just mind-blowing? Anyone who ever has lived and anyone who ever will live. Jesus died on that cross thinking of us, and then he rose again knowing that we'll be able to live in the victory of that death. Come on. Church, if we're not excited about that this morning, I think there's something wrong. That we get to live, thank you, Si, we get to live in the victory of the death. I guess that's the ultimate act of forgiveness, really, isn't it? He paid the highest price so that we can be forgiven. I wonder how many times we actually sit back and take a breath to think about that. We sing it, we hear about it in sermons, like this one. We talk about it regularly throughout our Christian journey. We ponder on it. We ponder on it in communion. And we live in the truth. But I want us to look at how important it is to extend beyond ourselves. To extend that beyond ourselves and into our daily lives. Wherever we encounter people, at work, in church, in our families, at the shops, in the school playground, in our media and in our social media. And this morning, I want us to go on the journey of looking at the following three things. The concept of entitlement and why actually we're not really entitled. The idea that we can then release that to God and then find ourselves in a new place of freedom. Is that okay? Does that sound okay? Awesome. So what does it mean to forgive? Well, if we look at some definitions, to stop feeling angry or resentful towards someone for an offense, flaw, or mistake. To no longer feel angry about or wish to punish. To cancel a debt. It's used in polite expressions as a request to use one's foibles, ignorance, or impoliteness. Now, for me personally, this is a topic that is very much an echo of my life. And many of the things I've had to walk through before my faith journey began, and definitely very much along the way, I am wholeheartedly passionate about this area of our Christian journey and passionate about this attribute of God. Because I do know, church, firsthand, the power that it brings. If we can just grasp it and we can exercise it on a daily basis and we can keep going and keep going, it becomes like second nature. And then you're like, oh, I've got this forgiveness, down. And then God gives you something else and he's like, really? You think you do? But I love how in Colossians it says, so, chosen by God for this new life of love. Dress in the wardrobe God picked out for you. Compassion, kindness, humility, quiet strength, discipline. Be even-tempered, content with second place. Quick to forgive an offense. Forgive as quickly and completely as the Master forgave you. And regardless of what else you put on, wear love. It's your basic, all-purpose garment. Never be without it. Forgive as quickly and completely as the Master forgave you. Forgive as quickly and completely as the Master forgave you. You see, in reality, that's a lot harder, isn't it? It's a lot tougher on as we feel on a daily basis to do this. You see, when someone has wronged us, and some of us would consider God in that someone, in word or deed or action, or worse, we feel entitled, don't we, to carry that hurt. We feel entitled to walk around in our place of entitlement and to carry that hurt because it's my hurt. This is mine. And so I'm going to walk around and I'm going to carry it, or I'm going to carry my offense. Someone did this to me and I'm going to keep walking with it. And I love how for me, on the beginning of my journey, it was the first thing that God dealt with. It was the first time I heard his word talked about when I was when I made my first visit to church. It was the first time that I was broken before God, sobbing from the depths of my soul. And even then, I didn't know that Holy Spirit was working in me and on my heart with every tear that dropped from my eye. You see, when I met Efe, I had no faith at all. Come from a family where one side is Muslim and the other don't have a faith yet. And I've been through various things in my young teenage life. And there were some particularly big, life-altering moments that you could say would send most people probably on a downward spiral and cause you to lose all sense of direction. But you know what? I love that innate with me, in me, when God created me, he gave me a quality to persevere and push through and to have strength in the toughest of circumstances. I had a great example in my mama who's come to support me this morning. I remember the first time I visited church with Efe. We'd been dating for 6 months. We met in a nightclub, in a garage rave, or in a disco for the more mature folk here. And I had reached a point in my life where I just thought, okay, there's got to be more to life than this. There must be. There has to be. And so in early December 2006, I visited our previous church for the first time. We sat down, we heard some amazing worship, and I just couldn't get over that feeling of love and of welcome that I had received. So we sat down, ready to hear the word, and the pastor says, "Morning, church." Okay, so the title of the sermon today is forgiveness and the power that it brings, and the power and freedom that it brings. And my heart shuddered, because in that moment, in that very moment, everything else blurred, and I just felt like it was me and this God that I didn't know in that room. And I sobbed, and I sobbed, and I sobbed, and I sobbed. And from, you know, when you do that crying that's like right from the depths of your belly, like where you can't really breathe. And one of the things he was talking about that has gone into my spirit and stayed with me is the fact that when you keep hurt and bitterness and offense, when you carry it, it's like you've locked yourself in a prison. And worse still, it's like you have shut the door from the inside. It's like you've locked the key, found a window that probably isn't in a prison cell, and it's fallen into a lake, and you will never find it again. That is the weight of unforgiveness and bitterness. It's important that we understand that, because when we can release ourselves from those things, and when we're not walking round and round and round in our circle of entitlement, I've seen it firsthand in my own life, and I've seen it break through in the lives of others, and it is a beautiful and freeing thing, and it is like when heaven connects earth. And here at Skylark Church, we are passionate, as we all know, about heaven connecting earth. There are many places in the Bible where we see people entitled to harbour hurt and unforgiveness. So if you could turn with me in your Bibles to Daniel 6. Daniel and Joseph are particularly, I'm just going to put this down for a moment, two people that inspire me, and I hope this morning that they inspire you too. So here we have Daniel, who was exiled by the king of Babylon after they'd conquered Israel. Just to give a little bit of context, they took many of their young men into captivity. Daniel's name was changed. But do you know what I love? Is that it didn't stop him from keeping obedient to God's principles. He remained honest, he remained faithful, and he remained prayerful. His heart, you see, was for the things of God. He was all in. He wasn't part in, he was all in, fully in. He leant into the things of God. And for him, nothing was going to change that. He got promoted amongst government officials, and then his colleagues couldn't handle it. So they snitched on him. And his buddies got thrown into the fiery furnace. And if we look from verse 10, it says, "And so he was viewed favorably with successive kings. He had favor with both man and with God." And so from verse 10, King Darius had been coerced into signing a law that basically meant that if you prayed to other gods, that you would be thrown into the lion's den. But when Daniel learned that the law had been signed, he went home and he knelt down, as usual, in his upstairs room, with its windows open towards Jerusalem. He prayed, giving thanks to his God. You see, Daniel maintained his fervent prayer life, and the other officials caught him out and went to speak to King Darius about this. The Bible says even King Darius felt troubled and tried to find a way to get Daniel out of that predicament, but he couldn't. And so we all know that he was then thrown into the lion's den. But you see, what strikes me at various points through the book of Daniel is that he honestly had so many opportunities to be hurt or to be full of bitterness or to be resentful or to be offended. Yet we see in the book, through his action and deed and speech, that he maintained a sweet spirit and a pure and prayerful heart before God. At every turn, he believed that his God was the one to come through, didn't he? He believed that God would come through. Yet, if we go forward a bit into Daniel 9, here we see that Daniel chose to overlook the entitlement of harboring hurt. And he came to his knees and he interceded for the nation of Israel. And you know what he did? He put himself in the we. If we read, it says, O Lord, from verse 4, I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed, O Lord, you are great and an awesome God. You always fulfill your covenant and keep your promises of unfailing love to those who love you and obey your commands. But we have sinned and done wrong. We have rebelled against you and scorned your commands and regulations. We have refused to listen to your servants, the prophets, who spoke on your authority to our kings and princes and ancestors and to all the people of the land. We. He put himself in the we. He had chosen, church, to walk a close walk with God. And actually, technically, if we read, you know, our kind of human side would say, well, he shouldn't really have been included in that we. But what strikes me is how Christ-like is that? That he knows he wasn't included, yet he chose to anyway. He found himself in his familiar place of trust, his place of truth, and his place that was very familiar to him of prayer. And he asked for mercy and for forgiveness for those who have wronged him. I want to challenge us this morning. If there's anything that we might be thinking of right now that we are walking around or holding on to, I want to challenge us this morning. Do we include ourselves in that way when we talk about forgiveness? How about with ourselves when we've made a wrong decision? Do we take a moment to extend that forgiveness to ourselves? Or how about when we've judged a person based on typecast or stereotype, or age, or a formed prejudice? Or if we've been hurt repeatedly in relationships with friends or by family members? Or even worse, the very thing that we feel like we could never release to God. Like you just feel like, no, this is definitely my thing to hold on to. We aren't entitled to hold on to those hurts either. Jesus never felt entitled. And can I remind us this morning, church, and challenge us that since his spirit now lives within us, the reality is that we need to try to not feel entitled or to have the right to that thing. And when we can understand that and when we can grasp that, when we can understand that whilst we feel entitled, but really if we understand that the cross has taken that away, then we can step out and we don't have to go back to that place. And we can walk a bit further and we can let go of the hurt. Who's my coming to? And we can hold and we can release it. There you go, Nigel, you can take my hurt. And we can release it and we can let go and we can move on to the next thing. We can come out of that place of what sometimes can really be captivity, because it can has the ability to become our identity, church. And so we need to smash that down and we need to break those things free. And when we grasp that, we don't feel entitled to that pain. You see, the beauty about being in relationship with Jesus is that we can go to him about anything, with anything, all of the time. When you're in relationship with Jesus, you can go to him with anything, about anything, all of the time. And you know, Joseph is a standout candidate in this area. After all he had walked through and how he'd been tormented and sold into slavery by his brothers, then in Genesis 50, his response astounds me. Where are we going? Oh, connection lost. It's okay. If we go to Genesis 50, verses 14 to 21, I'm going to read that in the Message version. After burying his father, Joseph went back to Egypt. All of his brothers who had come with him to bury his father returned with him. After the funeral, Joseph's brothers talked among themselves. What if Joseph is carrying a grudge and decides to pay us back for all of the wrong we did him? So they sent Joseph a message before his death. Before his death, your father gave this command. Tell Joseph, forgive your brother's sin, all of that wrongdoing. They did treat you very badly, but will you do it? Will you forgive the sins of the servants of your father's God? When Joseph received their message, he wept. Then the brothers went to him in person, threw themselves on the ground before him and said, "We'll be your slaves." And Joseph replied, "Don't be afraid. Do I act for God? Don't you see? You planned evil against me, but God used these same plans for my good. As you see all around you, right now, life for many people. Easy now, you have nothing to fear. I'll take care of you and your children." He reassured them, speaking with them heart to heart. You know, his brothers, out of jealousy, sold him to be a slave in a foreign land. And on his journey and in his walk, he was upset and disappointed on many occasions. But God had favor upon him. And God was with Joseph in those moments. In the darkest times of his life, God was with him. What would you do? How would your heart be? You know, this week, we've spoken about it already this morning, but this week, hearing the tragic news of the attack in Manchester, it's really affected me. I've cried many tears. I've sent many prayers up. And I'm continuing to do so. And in my mind, I made reference, and looking back over my notes, to Nikki's message a few months ago about pearls from pain. And I thought of those Christ-focused questions that she asked us and challenged us to ask God or speak to God about in moments of absolute trial and tribulation, in the moments when you're lost for words. Later in the week, I was profoundly impacted by an article shared on Facebook by Susie Harrington, and it was from Pastor Anthony Delaney, who leads the Ivy Church in Manchester, and he'd written an article for Premier Christian Radio, and they've got a Facebook page that he posted a blog. And the title of it said, "I'm a church leader in Manchester, but today I have more questions than answers." And he went on to talk about the fact that he'd policed the streets of Manchester for 10 years and how, along with other church leaders, they were able to offer support and open their doors and extend warmth, love, and a safe place. You see, the thing that challenged me as I was preparing this was how he finished the article. He was sharing that he had some guidance from Pete Gregg of 24/7 Prayer of how people can pray when there's no words to pray, of how we can pray useful prayers, I suppose, to support those moments. And then he wrote this: "I'll be honest, I struggle with the last bit." And that last bit was in reference to a line above that said, "Pray for mercy and forgiveness for the perpetrators. My hands are still fists, and right now I'm angry. But I'm all about justice. So I sit in my church and I tell that to my God. But as I look at the cross, frustratingly, I see that my God is also about mercy. It's hard to argue about that with someone who, in the middle of being tortured and brutalized, says, "Father, forgive them." So as his grace, the power to be who I need to be and do what I need to do for the rest of this grim day, fills me, I slowly open my hand and say, "Lord, have mercy on Manchester." You see, church, in the most horrific of circumstances, we need to be a people that can find our way to the cross. That does not mean not feeling the emotion or not dealing with how you feel in the natural. And we must share that with God and have a great support team of people around us. But it does mean that if we can recognize that we are created in God's image and have the same power that conquered the grave lives in us, then somewhere, somehow, we can find it in us to release that every bit of hurt to the one who knew about the hurt and took the hurt on that cross so that we could live in the full sense of victory and freedom. Come on, church. Can we get excited about that? That he knew the hurt was going to happen before, and he took it on anyway, and he's released us into the fullness of victory. That is miraculous. And then from there, from that place of release, we can move into a place of freedom, into a place that feels like it might be unknown territory, uncharted waters, because we're so used to walking round and round and carrying the load, that we walk into this place of freedom. He helps us pick up the pieces. He does. And it probably feels alien. And it may take a bit of getting used to. And not very comfortable. But you will soon settle in. You see, Christ has set us free to live a free life. That's what it says in Galatians 5. So take your stand. Never again let anyone put a harness of slavery on you. Freedom is a beautiful and spacious place to live. If I can have the next slide, please. When I first became a Christian, God really challenged me in an area of forgiveness to do with my dad. And my parents split up when I was probably, they finally probably split up when I was about 10. And my dad is an interesting character, and probably didn't have the best father-daughter relationship that we should have had. Can I say, dads, really make sure you love your girls, give them their worth, and tell them that they're beautiful, and hold their hands, and hold them close, and protect them when they need protecting. It's important. And, you know, my dad was a Muslim, so he'd found out that I'd become a Christian, and that went down like a lead balloon. And you know, and I think a lot of people probably thought maybe it was a bit of a phase. And God really challenged me on all the things that my dad had done, time after time after time, disappointment after disappointment, when you stand in hope and it's just bang, 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 one thing after the other. And God really challenged me to forgive my dad. I was like, holding that ball. But that's mine, God. No, like, that's really that bit of me that I'm like, that's mine. And he really challenged me. And one of the things I love and value about being in this church is the way that we understand the value of speaking life, of speaking it out and speaking it out and speaking it out and speaking it out and carrying on when it looks dark, when it looks like there's nothing breaking forward. But I did that. I chose to go on that journey of forgiveness. And I chose to stand and confess daily and very regularly, "You know what, God, I forgive my dad. I forgive him. I release that to you. And I didn't mean it. And I was saying it. And I didn't mean it. But I carried on saying it. And I didn't mean it." And then one day, it happened. I felt it physically, the load released. It physically, I could feel it. And church, I'm sharing that with you this morning because now he's still a really interesting character, but it helps me to, I can live in the freedom of that, so I don't take it offensively. He is who he is, and I can't expect him to be anyone else because he's just who he is, and that's okay. And when you can release and walk in that place of freedom, you can be okay with people that maybe didn't do their job that well, or, you know, in hindsight, could have been a bit different. But my heart, church, is that I desire to walk in full and abundant freedom. How about you? Do you desire to live a full and abundant life? Having walked through forgiveness in both big, life-altering moments and smaller decisions to maintain and to ensure that my heart doesn't become bitter, I have found such pleasure in helping others on their journey and standing in this side of freedom and saying, come on, you can do it. I know because I'm here and I promise you, you can do it. But you need to lose the entitlement, hand over the release and stand in the place of freedom. You can. And I have watched people cry tears and I've held their hands and I've, you know, stood with them. But we can do it, church. We need to be a church and a people that can forgive quickly and can forgive easily. I love cheering people on, sometimes catching their tears, but that's okay because life is a process, hey? Our journey is a process. And just in closing, I want us to know that there is something to be said for seeing that beauty for ashes transformation, that mourning for joy, the bitterness for gladness, the bound in chains to complete freedom. I want you to know that this morning, if you are here, and you are in the midst of really tough circumstances, maybe marital or relationship breakdown, abuse in the form of physical, verbal, alcohol and drugs maybe, bereavement, that we start at the place of forgiveness. But there also is the longer journey of healing and restoration. You see, as a church, we believe in the power of redemption and restoration because that is God's nature. And so I just want to say this morning and to put it out there that we offer many resources as a church to assist you in that and to walk you through that in the form of counselling, deeper prayer, and our amazing pastoral care systems. And so if there's something that, you know, is niggling away or you're just really struggling, please come and see myself or any of the VLT after the service. And so as we close now, having looked at the I am, the attributes of God, that he is forgiveness, that Jesus wants to remind you today that he is forgiveness and that he is freedom and that there is nothing you cannot overcome by the power of his Holy Spirit. And he is inviting us, me, you, all of our children out there, he's inviting us to come and live in that today. So can I ask us to stand, church, this morning? If I could just have the worship team up, maybe. And I'm just going to pray through three points or a few points this morning. I pray that, and I want you to know that if it's your first visit or first time in church this morning, or, you know, first time you've heard about this Jesus, he's just waiting to come into relationship with you. He's just knocking at the door of your heart, and he loves you. No matter where you've been, what you've done, he loves you. And so this morning, we just offer and extend an invitation for you to come into relationship with him. And if you want to do that, please just pop your hand in the air so that one of our team can just give you some literature. And then we're going to pray through these three points. I'm not going to necessarily ask you to come forward, although if for you, you feel like you want to, we've got a great prayer team that can pray with you now or at the end of the service. If you feel that you are standing in this place of entitlement, that you have carried the load, that you've carried the hurt, that you've carried the bitterness for so long, but you just want to break free of that mindset of just firstly acknowledging, you know what, God, I don't want to be entitled because I'm not entitled because you took it for me. And God, we just pray for all of those who are feeling maybe like that this morning, that Holy Spirit, that you would help them to shift their mind to understand that the cross allows us to break that entitlement culture, to break that need to hold on to it. And so, Lord, I ask that you would release it over them right now. And God, I pray for people that know that they're not entitled to that hurt, but this morning that they are carrying something and they don't really know how to feel about it, how to let go of it. And if that's you this morning, wherever you are, I just want you to clench your fists. Like Anthony Delaney was talking about in that article, I want you to clench your fists. Imagine that thing or those things in your hand. And we just pray release over you right now in the name of Jesus. I pray that whatever is holding you will just break free, that it will be released. And so as you unclench your fist, release it to God. And to breathe out as you do that, exhale. Make that physical act of release. And finally, God, for those who maybe want to walk towards that place of freedom or are in that place of freedom but feel a bit alien, Lord, I pray that they would know that they are loved and free in you, and that you would begin to send people along the way to help them walk in that place of freedom, to show them the beauty that is on the other side, God. That often we just get so caught up with the thing, that on the other side is all of this. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for what you've done in our hearts today. And Lord, we just pray that we will just go out walking in forgiveness, receiving your forgiveness and walking in your forgiveness. And there's still available here prayer. If you'd like somebody to stand with you to release something, there's the prayer team over here. There's the visitors lounge over here. If you're new, come over and meet some people. If you don't know where to go, come over to the visitors lounge and coffee and tea over there. Have a great week, Skylark Church. Bye.